Steve Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
An emergency fundraising appeal has been launched by the British Red Cross in response to flooding in Libya. The death toll in the city of Derna alone is more than 5,000. It's feared the death toll could be much higher, though, as 10,000 people are reported to be missing. The UK economy contracted by 0.5% in July, according to the Office for National Statistics. It says the health sector was impacted by further industrial action and retailers were knocked by the wet weather. Kim Jong-un has arrived to meet Vladimir Putin at a space base in Russia's Far East. That's according to Russian state media. It comes hours after North Korea fired two ballistic missiles towards the sea. And England beat Scotland 3-1 in their friendly at Hampden Park last night. Harry Maguire scored an own goal, which was the only goal for Steve Clarke's side, whilst Foden, Bellingham and Kane scored the three for England. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Sophia Lewis-Hobbs.
Club card accepted.
Sounds like someone's lowered prices with their Tesco club card. Like 3 for £10 on selected meat, fish and poultry products, including 4 Tesco Finest steak burgers, 2 sea bass fillets and a whole medium chicken, all for £10. With Tesco Club Card, everyone can feel the to lower prices. Tesco. Every little helps. Majority of larger stores, 3 for £10, ends 10th of October. Club Card are app required.
Coming up, the Business Mix Show.
Hello, I'm Dr. Sean Bakary. If something in your body doesn't feel right, talk to us. Don't let the worry of cancer play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Until you find out, you can't rule it out. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Says she ready for some loving.
Brooklyn,
Brooklyn. Grab her hand when she walking by me. Turn around, let her recognize me. Ooh, she looks surprised, but she kinda liked it. She ain't get no number, but she slid the IG. Oh, and that so icy. Chanel on her body, I can tell that she pricey. Boom, bye, bye, take her home like she wifey. Like she wifey. Make sure her homegirl straight. Shots, 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 and it's all on me. They want a boomerang, pull it back on three. When I shoot back, then it's all on shit. Says she ready for some loving. It might not be love, but it's something. Take back shots and I'm running. Bedroom bully keep you coming. Says she ready for some loving. It might not be love, but it's something. Take back shots and I'm running. Bedroom bully keep you coming.
Could you possibly rewind and come again?
Bedroom bully keep you coming.
Like that.
Knocked it out, now it's time for round two. Call her friend so that she can come too. Enough girl in a bungalow. Like, whoa. Love it when a rude boy slides. Oh. Old school swag with the vibe. No. A new thing when I decide to. When but I the decide truth is, ain't nobody like you.
Nobody like you.
Says she ready for some loving. It might not be love, but it's something. Take back shots, ain't no running. Bedroom bully keep you coming. Says she ready for some loving. It might not be love, but it's something. Take back shots, ain't no running. Bedroom bully keep you coming. Shots ain't no running. Bedroom bully keep you coming. Says she ready for some loving. It might not be love, but it's something.
Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, and a very good evening to you all. My name is Chrissy, and welcome to the Business Mix.
And I'm Rachel, and welcome to the Business Mix on Colourful, where we bring you the best in all things black business. How have you
indeed,
been?
Indeed. I have been. Life in as usual, Rach. I can't complain. I can't really complain. Things are ticking on as we go on. I'm already thinking about the Christmas season. December.
You're going to mention Christmas because it's you and we're in August and I knew that you
were going to
Christmas. So that means you've got some designs that you need to be making.
That's what I've been thinking of, designs. We're halfway through, so yes. Nice. And I don't know if you managed to listen to our bestie Natalie Cake Lady on her TikTok channel. She's been doing lots of little pop-ups for people who are looking to price up their items, their services, products, and about pop-ups. So if you're looking at going on pop-ups, going to any pop-ups, selling at any pop-ups in the next couple of months, please go to her page. She's got lots of gems for you. But that's it, really.
13 Rhythms.
That's the one. How about you, Rachel? What have you been up to?
Well, it's summer holidays. School's out. So yeah. I've been in.
School's out, but you've been in.
And that's all I can say on that one. But watch this space for some hopefully exciting news coming soon. And I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay, we can't wait. But it's that time of the month again, and it's a good thing. And it's a good thing because we got our family, our one and only Mr. Paul Muhammad from the Money Mob for the Money Mob Takeover. Good morning, afternoon, and good evening, Paul.
Greetings all. I pray you're fine. I pray that everything's going well. As I said, this young lady, she looks really nice in her little yellow. I wish I could see you too, but I mean, that's not a problem.
I'm just pretend I'm in yellow, Paul. Same as Rachel. I'm turning with.
I'm on trend. I'm on trend for your marketing.
There you go.
Indeed. I'm telling you. So look, yes, Paul, from the Money Mob again. I am the Money Mob founder, for those of you who live under a rock. The Money Mob was created 7 years ago. We saw a need to support on black business. Our main claim to fame is our Money Mob, which we target black businesses usually by referrals. And on a day and time, we mob that business. It could be 10 people, it could be 110 people. Each person is there, spends no less than £10 per person. And also, we try to market and promote that business. Let people know about the story. Who runs that business? What was their journey? And more importantly, what products they sell and where they are located. To say that it has been a busy month is an understatement. I can't even start to tell you the amount of places that that I have been through. And it's funny because people always say to me, but Paul, you're here, you're there and everywhere. And I must admit, first one of the places that I was able to visit during the month, just around the beginning of the month, was Focus Africa, which is an event held at Rich Mix. And it is a festival of music, from as well as music mainly, but now with an element of fashion. So there was an African Fashion Week feel to the festival. Many artists from all over the continent performing, and as well as there's a great mini market that was there. So obviously you're gonna find me down there checking them out, supporting. One of the businesses that I have known for a good few years, which I love, was Life of a Tree. It was great to see Femi. He does moringa products, and in a whole myriad of moringa product item, whether it is the actual moringa teas, various moringa mixed with like an olive oil, whether they're supplements, the whole gambit. He has really taken it to another level, and please make sure you check some of his items. Farm sustainably. I know he a lot of his products, especially come from Nigeria, and now he's based in the UK. And as I said, you want to find out where he is, go to www.lifeofatree.co.uk. Also visited a young lady who had another a set of tea and products called Suja, and it's Suja_Africa_teas. They had a particular tea that was good for the men, for the brothers. And these teas put hairs on your chest and make you a man. So again, if you are interested in checking them out, make sure you visit www.suja, spelled S-U-J-A-H, and it's going to be on SD.com. Now, one of the ladies that I met many years ago, she has a company called Messi B. They are a fashion brand. They sell not only beautiful and crafted clothes, but absolutely exquisite jewelry. Some of her pieces are timeless. They are beautiful. They are statement pieces, and you have to, if you get a chance, you must make sure you visit this young lady on www.massia, and it's spelled MASSASSIB.com. Beautiful items, really, really beautiful items. And then lastly, I met a young lady. She has a book company, very much in the mold of Mr. Men, but definitely has a black theme to it. And it's Juno Pem Arts. She has Mr. Bosi as one of the characters. She's got Auntie Vex as another character, a myriad of different characters. Her name is Imani. And as I said, you've got to check out Juno Pem Arts, and check out her social media on Uncle and Auntie_Mandem, and that's spelled, as I said, Uncle and N, not an N, Auntie_Mandem. And I didn't see you two at the event on the event on the Black Unity bike ride, but I was there in the rain.
Yeah,
that's what I was just about to say.
It was in the rain.
And then in the rain again.
I couldn't be dragging out the kids in the rain. They would cuss me from now until they're 21. So I just
You could have at least even a little wave in the car or something.
How was it? I'm telling you, how are you feeling now?
I'm feeling better. I didn't get a cold. I was rained on at least 4 to 5 times, but it was. I'm telling you, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. It was really amazing. There must have been at least, I think there must have been at least 500, 600, 700, 800 cyclists. We cycled through Leighton, right through to Hackney, down into Holborn, and then we crossed the bridge at Westminster, and right through Camberwell. I went through the ends in Peckham, Rye Lane, and right up to Dulwich Park, just up the hill. And as per usual, it's the last 1 mile that was the killer. And then to make it even worse, you're going uphill, you're now in pain, and there's a deluge again. So it was beautiful. It was well worth it, and an amazing event. And I advise you, it will be. It's an annual event. Please make sure, if you're not a cyclist, getting some practice in, because I'm telling you, you don't want to miss the event. I must admit, the highlight for me was riding down Charing Cross Road, listening to Prince. Oh my God, it's blaring out some serious tracks from back in the day. I nearly forgot myself on the bike, and I had to kind of rein myself in. But to say it was a memorable time is an understatement.
My hat's off and biggest congratulations,
definitely,
to all of you, all 800 of you that were down there cycling. As you said, in the come rain, hail, snow, it's not going to matter. You guys are going to be there. So hopefully next year the sun will shine on us and we'll be.
I really hope next year the sun will shine, because it was an amazing event. And I know speaking to our guests as well, I know that they had a presence. Black East London had a presence down there. I saw some really serious little bits and pieces, to eat. So look, going on to now the business of the month. Business of the month is London Opticians. They're based in Mare Street, headed by a great friend of mine called Margaret. I would say they're almost a bespoke opticians, and they usually by appointment, but they really specialize in sitting you down and making sure that that you get the best in service, the best in regards to the product, and as I said, they're amazing person in Margaret. They're open between Tuesday and Saturday, between 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. But they can open a little bit later if you request. They are closing on Sunday and a Monday, but as I said, they are well worth the visit. So if you're in the Hackney area, make sure you visit. If you're in the London area, book an appointment. They're on 0208 533 1188. Okay, so we're now at that time now. Yes, this gentleman, I've been looking to interview him for a very, 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 very long time. I know he's a busy man. I know he's elusive at times, but I know that he is a worker. You see him every you see him here, you see him there, you see what he's doing, and he has really created an amazing movement in the Black Eats London. Founder of Black Eats London, I have Jackson McClarty. Good day, sir.
How you doing?
I'm not too bad. It is great to see you on, and I just wanted you just to let our viewers know, you know, and introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure. I'm Jackson, founder of Black Eats. Started almost 3 years ago now, just literally around 3 years now. Initially started as a Black-owned restaurant directory, which we still are the first and only in the UK, featuring almost 400 different restaurants across the UK, and then pivoted more into the event space over the past 2 years, where we've kind of managed to do many of our own events, where we've had over 200,000 people over the past 2 years, as well as collaborate with large events such as City Splash, Cross the Tracks, Wireless Festival, and many others.
But look, just give us an idea off your journey. I mean, you know, what was the inspiration behind it?
Yeah, so for me, I guess things kind of started, like I said, just over 3 years ago now. I don't know if you guys can remember, but...
Oh, I can.
2023 minus 3 years, you get 2020. Minus 1 year, you get COVID-19. So, yeah, so we're looking at the year of lockdown in the UK when we kind of all were just, you know, chilling one day. And next thing we knew, we were locked up in our houses for... At the time, it was kind of the foreseeable. We didn't know when it was going to come to an end or how long. And to what restrictions. So yeah, it kind of started during lockdown. I was doing a lot of research into, well, the reason why, first of all. What I wanted to do was to kind of marry the things that were my skills versus, and as well as the things of my passion. So skills in the fact I have an IT management degree, where it's in tech for quite a while, kind of understand customer journeys, customer retention, customer loyalty and marketing. Those are kind of my skill sets. And then in terms of the passion side of things, me, I'm a massive foodie. I love to go out to dine, love to go out to eat with friends, see it as very much a hobby, social activity, and a way of exploration as well, both when I'm in the UK and when I'm traveling overseas. So yeah, it was about bringing those things together and really discovering and exploring the kind of Black cuisine and hospitality within London and like I said, the wider UK. So yeah, that's how it kind of initially started, was as a passion project, something that I saw in lockdown when people were looking to support local businesses, support Amazon a bit less and those kind of larger companies, and shop with smaller companies, independent companies, places where they could actually see the difference of what their pound was doing. And for me, that was okay. Love to go to restaurants. Me personally, I don't really know that many Black-owned restaurants right now, or where I would support them or how I would support them. So first thing for me was kind of filling that gap, which was knowledge and education. So for me, with no other Black-owned restaurant directory in existence at the time, I had to kind of scour the internet as well as real life world for these restaurants and verify these restaurants and put them in a format which was easily digestible, regardless of your technical skill set. So whether or not you're an internet whiz, as some people may say, or whether you're very much a beginner, the website needed to be accessible across, you know, mobile phones, iPads, laptops, desktops, etc. So yeah, that's how things originally started with the restaurant directory, which we kind of provide as a free platform for people to initially find these restaurants and then know where to visit them.
Indeed. So I just wanted to find out from yourself. I mean, that's the you know, the journey. What is Black Eats London philosophy?
Philosophy. I think there were quite a lot of other kind of Black-owned business movements that were kind of emerging or emerged around the same time as us, and some even before we existed. So I think you'll be very familiar with the brands such as like UK Jammy and brands such as Black Pound Day, which kind of focus on what I would say is a wider 360 approach to Black business, if you want to talk about like retail like that. Whereas we kind of really niche and hone in on kind of food and hospitality. So that's, you know, restaurants, bars, cafes, street food spots, all of those things. That's something that we saw as universal. So whereas you may say some retail products maybe cater to the Black community, us as a product, as food, anybody can eat Black cuisine. It doesn't matter if you're Black, white, Asian, any, as long as you're a human being, even animals, they eat food too. So yeah, it's something that we could see that could appeal to everyone. So our philosophy was everybody eats And that's something that we can do through what we do. And that's for an opportunity for people inside the culture to maybe connect a bit more with something nostalgic, something that grandma used to make or something you had when you went on holiday back home, or maybe it's something you went on holiday somewhere else and tried, or maybe it's something that you've never even tried before and something that you can discover your roots and your heritage through, you know, what's on the end of a fork.
Okay. Another question I wanted to ask you, I mean, speaking to businesses generally, and speaking to business managers per se, did they see, what did you see as barriers, or were there any barriers in them kind of entering, you know, and growing their, their business and food brand?
Yeah. So I think for me, initially when I first started it, I wasn't really moving into the event space. And that's probably why I started to see more barriers as such in the events space. And that was, I guess, mostly initially we started to do our own events. So we didn't want to even, well, we didn't have the opportunity to collaborate with existing brands or festivals at the entry point. You kind of have to, you know, build your reputation, get your experience up, all of those different things as you would with any other industry. But I think typically in the UK at the moment, the, if you want to call it the black representation percentage at these festivals and large scale events is usually less than 5%. And that's both inside and outside of the, outside of London. So you may say, oh, well, up in, I don't know, Sheffield, there's not that many black people anyway. Okay, we get that one. But when it comes to London, where we know we are not as a small representation as these kind of more northern places, that 5% is really not good enough, especially when you look at the actual representation on the stage and which artists are performing and which customers are actually coming to these events and spending their money at these events. It really needs to be a lot more representative. So that's probably like one of the biggest barriers that we face, is just being able to attend these spaces and being able to act as a kind of middleman between these festival organizers and sometimes, you know, bar companies and other companies that are involved within the production of events. And these independent businesses that we will work with to provide them with the opportunity to trade these large scale events.
Okay. Now you transitioned from like creating your directory into then creating the black owned, the night market, and to me that has been an absolute success. I mean, and you know, how was that transition?
Yeah, so that was very much an organic transition that wasn't planned. That kind of came around because we were coming out of, well, we were still in lockdown. I think we were maybe in tier 4 at the time. I don't know if you remember what tier 4 is.
Oh, yeah.
But tier 4 was the time when you could only dine with, I think, 6 people from your household, and you all had to be living in within the same household. And you could only sit on a table with each other outside, which sounds mental. But that's kind of time we were living in at the time. And to actually bring these restaurants together that were at the were on the directory, as well as businesses that I was meeting on the streets that I was kind of reviewing and promoting at the time, the only actual legal way to bring them together was through an outdoor event. So that is how the market kind of came about, was to actually legally run an event that was considered to be essential shopping, is what we were classifying things as back then. That was what we had to do to kind of be able to organize an event. And the plan was to just kind of run that until tier 4 kind of disappeared. But despite, you know, people being able to still go back to, you know, their rooftop bars in central London and their cheeky Nando's around the corner and all these other things that people do on a regular basis, people still started to come to the events in bigger numbers than they did even through the lockdown. So for that reason, we carried on going.
Indeed. Yeah, so they've been really amazing, amazing events, literally. Just wanted to find out for yourself, all right, you say you're a foodie. You must, again, you're open to, you know, eating a myriad of food. What food have in your journey you found probably one of the, you know, quite the most interesting?
The most interesting. I think for me, probably Ethiopian food. I think as someone mostly, you know, familiar with Caribbean food, and obviously experience West African food a lot. I feel like Ethiopian food is maybe something that is not really explored that much by the Black community, I would say, in terms of, when I say Black community, I'd say Black British community. I'd say it's kind of slept on. So for me, that was a very interesting thing to discover and learn about more, and even just the culture of Ethiopia, given it's like, you know, one of the only countries in Africa that wasn't colonized. Like, that in itself is pretty crazy. And yeah, so I think Ethiopian food is probably the most interesting. Just like, even injera as a thing, I don't know how many of you guys have tried that, but injera is like a savory pancake flatbread type fermented thing. And when I first tried it, I thought, why is this cold? First of all, why is it not warm? I'm used to warm bread. That's just like what seems normal to me. And then the tanginess of it, that took a couple of like samples to really understand. So yeah, I'd probably say Ethiopian food is probably one of the most interesting cuisines that I've tried since, but it probably is one of my favorites, especially if I feel like eating something clean, something vegan, something where I don't want to touch meat for the day. Ethiopian is probably a really good choice.
Okay, cool. Chrissy, Rachel.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm not a foodie, but I like food. I like to eat food.
We're both foodies. You know, we can eat food. Well, Rachel likes chips, but I call her a foodie. But if it's...
I think of a foodie as someone who's, you know, really, really into trying this, trying that, and it's got to be a certain way. I just like eating food. Like, as long as it tastes good and it's appetizing, I'm there. So, and I have to say that, yeah, there's been restaurants, obviously, that I've tried, kind of like due to seeing it kind of like on Black Eats, what's been shown on socials. And I think the question that I wanted to ask, Jackson, is how have you found kind of like using social media as a tool to get your word out and to kind of elevate and amplify your voice and your platform, especially like when you're doing kind of collaborations with other foodies or food influencers? How has it been stepping into that kind of realm?
Yeah, so I'll say it's kind of like a 360 experience for me, because I kind of started off with the restaurant directory, and I guess because of my marketing background, I knew websites or in general that you're generally going to target someone who's, you know, around the age 30 plus on a website. Whereas social media platforms, of course, each of them have different demographics, so, you know, maybe if we start in age downward kind of fashion, you might start at LinkedIn, you might go down to Facebook, maybe even interchangeably. Then you might get to Instagram, then you end up on TikTok, and that's when you know you've kind of hit the kids. So I always kind of knew there's different ways of reaching different demographics, and the website alone wasn't going to be enough to actually drive significant footfall to these restaurants. So I thought pairing the website along with social media campaigns, whether that's paid or not, would actually push people from more than one angle to these restaurants. So when I first started out with the restaurant directory, I was kind of, you know, posting places that were on the directory for a good year before I started to do the events. So I was already kind of, if you want to call it, being an influencer or a content creator or whatever you want to call that, by going to these restaurants myself and actually experiencing them firsthand, not necessarily listening to too much word of mouth, what's already on Google, what's on TripAdvisor, what's on Open Table, what's on all of these other websites. I wanted to go down myself and make sure, okay, just because Tom said it's good, I want to go make sure that what he's saying is actually correct. Or if Tom says it's bad, I mean, I'm hoping he's wrong, but I'm going to go there with my fingers crossed, hoping I'm not going to get food poisoning today. Everything that we post on the page is always our first-hand experience and what we actually believe and can actually vouch for, as opposed to somebody's paid me this amount of money to go and say this is great, or someone's friend told me to tell them that this place is great. We don't really do that. Everything we do is off our own opinion, and we actually have gone to literally hundreds of restaurants in the UK now, black owned restaurants that is, and not all of them end up on our page. It's just the ones that we have a good experience at and we can vouch for, we actually post about. So don't worry, there's thousands of pounds that have been spent on experiences that never even touched social media, that we have had, let's say, negative experiences or experience that we wouldn't recommend. So if something is a 6 out of 10, there's no point shouting about it.
Definitely, because I'm always on TikTok and I always see follow me to Black Eat, so I know it's there. People are going on a regular basis. I don't understand how me and Rachel haven't made it quite there to Old Hackney, but we will get there. I haven't. Rachel, you may have, but I haven't.
Personally. Oh, I went to Brixton.
We're waiting for you to be more south, Jackson.
I know.
My question, I mean, it's been so successful, but I mean, what? How do you think and why do you think it's become so successful? And what do you think that unique selling point is for the people who come on a regular basis, for them, is what makes it so successful?
Yeah, so I think with all businesses, you need to have a unique selling point. That's like the key thing to differentiate yourself away from anyone else in the market. No, obviously it's a market, but yeah. And we kind of looked at all different types of markets before we actually started doing our own. So we've been to council-run markets such as, you know, your Chatsworth Roads and those type of markets, down to your more heritage markets, if you want to call it, like your borough markets and those type of venues, down to South Bank on the river by Embankment, down to indoor venues such as Seven Dials Market in Covent Garden. So we've been to like tons of different markets to see, if you want to call it, competitor analysis of like what else everyone else is doing, and what their approach is, what is their unique selling point, what's a good thing to do there, why do people go there, how frequent do they go there, looking at all those different things. And when I think about the market and what we do, which is different to everyone else, is the vibe and the energy. Nobody or no other venue or no other event or street food festival, market, whatever you want to kind of label it as, nobody is executing it in the same way that we are. And that's just a plain fact. I don't know if that's UK-wide, maybe worldwide, who knows? But yeah, that is something that hasn't been replicated successfully elsewhere, anywhere else so far. Second, I guess that's our first USP, is the vibe. So for us, it's like, obviously the name of the market is extremely clear, Black Owned Hackney. You know, obviously it's Black Owned businesses. That's probably our second USP, in the fact that everything is Black Owned. But first of all, the vibe is what brings people to the market on a monthly basis, and they come back because of their great experience that they have at the market, not just because it's all Black Owned businesses. That's probably the secondary part why people say, I had an amazing time. Oh, and by the way, everything is also Black Owned when you go there. So that's probably what we do, is it's vibe forward, I would say, in terms of our approach. And then everything else in terms of our kind of the pillars and our values and the reasons why we do it, such as, you know, inclusivity and the diversity, all of those things, I guess, come secondary to the actual experience of the consumer. So we're never kind of relying on, you know, another person being assaulted or even dying in another country for us to see a spike in actual footfall, because people are feeling pity or they're feeling bad or those kind of things have come in to actually attend the event. They're coming because they want to have a good time.
It's quite a good kind of place to get to, because I mean, I've been to the market, and the vibe for me has always been just beautiful. And what you've managed to do, you've bucked the trend, because usually you'll hear people say, well, wait a minute, when you have a group of Black people together, there is going to be trouble, or there is going to be this, and there is going to be that. But my experience is that you go down there and it is a carnival, almost, but it's a carnival of food, good vibes, conversation, you know, and meeting, you know, people that you buck up with, you haven't seen for a long while. And you've definitely created something down there that is really, yeah, it is amazing. And it is a must see, a must be vibe. So just moving on a little bit more, I mean, for food businesses, for someone who wants to get into you know, their food businesses. What kind of tip would you say would be one of the first things that they would really need to do?
Yeah, so I think it's probably the same for majority of industries, regardless if it's food, whether it's drinks, whether it's retail, whatever you're doing. I guess what I kind of said 10 minutes ago about competitor analysis and competitor research, that's probably the best place to start if you want to do something like that. So whenever someone comes to me at the market and they say, hey, I'm thinking about starting a food business, when's the next event, how can I apply? I say, actually, before you do that, walk around the market today, look at all the food stores and see how they're set up, see what they're doing, see who's operating at a good speed, you know, what equipment do they have in place, how many team members have, you know, look at their pricing, look at their branding, look at all of these other things. And between the 60 stores that we have at our events each month, you can look at these 60 businesses. And if you take one thing from each of those, I'm sure you'll be in a great place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Jackson, what have you, you know, what have you got going for, you know, moving forward? And I'll be now entering into, you know, that time. What have we got to look forward to?
Yeah. So we've just coming off the back of a very busy summer season. So we've been doing a lot of festivals. But our next event in Hackney, which will be our penultimate, so the one before the final one of the year, will be September 15th, 16th, and 17th. So that's a Friday night market from 6 till 10, as well as a Saturday, Sunday market, 12 till 6 each day. So you've got the option of a night market or a day market.
Oh, that sounds kind of quite serious. And moving, you know, further afield, are we going to see you, maybe Carnival next year or City Splash or one of those larger events? Are we going to be able to now penetrate those in Glastonbury even?
yeah, definitely. I think all of the festivals that we work with so far, they always ask us to come back the following year. So I'm sure you'll see us at Wireless again. You'll see us at City Splash again. You'll see us at Cross the Tracks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Glastonbury, we're knocking on that door. It's about time.
Indeed, absolutely. So please just give us an idea of, you know, things that we can do to get a hold of you. Well, number one, for companies who want to be a part of Black Eats London and be a part of the directory, you know, where do they need to where do they need to go, and how do they need to get in touch with you? And also just generally, how to get in contact with Black Eats London and yourself.
Yeah. Cool. So on Instagram, TikTok, all the socials, just type in Black Eats LDN. For people that want to find tickets to our events or trade at our events or just get involved in kind of being a vendor, it's blackeats.events. So blackeats.events.
Okay, amazing. And now we're going to the final question. And the final question, which is the money mob question, is this. Jackson, if you were granted one wish in regards to the Black community, what would that one wish be?
Okay, so my one wish would be, I don't know if it's a difficult one. What I would say is, and I don't know how you phrase this into one thing, but I'm going to say it anyway, is that we just give our community and treat our community the same way that we would treat others, in the fact that when we do business, the same way how you'd give McDonald's or KFC a chance for messing up and forgetting to put your fries in your bag, you know, you give that same kind of blight to your brother and sister as well. So I would just say, yeah, understand that businesses are growing, they're adapting, they're learning, they're getting better. And if they're not getting better, maybe move on to the next one. But those that are kind of on the come up, you know, just have a little bit of patience with them. That's all I would ask.
Indeed. Okay. Thank you. So much. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Good. So look, we got a whole, well, again, and I got a whole lot of running around to do during the month of September. I am going to be at Hustle Fest, which is headed by founders Jay and Jen. going to be, I think that's going to be an amazing event. So I'm going to be showing myself down there, and also I will be attending the Black Market and Film Festival, which was going to be way down the month, headed by Mark and oh God, literally I had a brain fog.
Charmaine,
that's right. Oh my God, she's gonna beat me up in the evening. Mark and Charmaine. I know they haven't had their event for a little while, and usually it is an all day event that's going to be in Tottenham. So listen out and watch out for the advertising in regards to that event. Is going to be, I know it's going to be serious. As I said, they have a market space, so obviously I'm going to be down there supporting. But also they have this film festival element, and it is always really, really, really fine. And I know that usually the DJs that spinning this down there are usually Ace of Jax. So I'm suspecting that Ace of Jax will be down there spinning the discs. And for those, again, as I said, as I'm kind of wrapping up, for those who want to be a part of the Money Mob movement, you want to be helping these businesses that we're talking about, please make sure that you contact us via email, and that is moneymobinfo@gmail.com, or as I said, you can get a hold of us on all the social media, whether it is Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, we are there. And as I said, if you are looking for help in regards to your digital marketing, your social media needs, as I said, please email us at that email address. So that's Paul from the Money Mob signing out. Support Black business, support the money.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for another great takeover.
The Business Mix Show. Yeah.
about your love, baby. Remember back when we had so much fun, easy. Opposites attract and that was us, so crazy. We messed it up. Now it seems like all we do is fight daily, still pretending that everything's fine. I wish you and me we could rewind, just maybe. But we're way past lame excuses when we both know what the truth is. Say you wanna talk about it, kiss and make up, we tried it. Break it up and get right back again, no, no. What's gonna happen here? Doesn't really matter how you feel. I'm always gonna love you, but I gotta go.
You got teardrops running down your face, and I wish I hadn't said it to you. Now we're standing in the pouring rain, and I know I can see it through. And it hurts so much, cause I need you. And it hurts so much, cause I want your love. There's nothing I can do.
Say you wanna talk about it, kiss and make up, we tried it. Break it up and get right back again, no, no. No, I know exactly what's gonna happen. It doesn't really matter how we feel. I'm always gonna love you, but I gotta go. Trying to tell me don't go there, and my heart just needs some closure. I wanna reach out and hold ya, kiss you and we can start over. It's trying to tell me don't go there, cause this time it's really over.
You got teardrops running down your face.
Your grade is incomplete. You gotta flash dollars to prove her, and when you do,